And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sander.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Having a great time here this morning. Talking fishing with the boys from the Royal Star, Captains Tim and Duke Ekstrom. Having a great time here. Lots of fun. Learning a ton of information. And just, man, if this hasn't got you in the mood to want to go do that long-range fishing, I don't know what will, man. I'm crawling out of my seat right now, missing my time fishing with Captain Tim and Captain Duke, and a great time here. And we've got another full hour coming your way. Lots of great information, lots of great phone calls, lots of great reports. We're going to continue on. We're having a great time, Wayne. How do we join us here if they want to be a part of the second hour? Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, you can call in at 833-288-0973. You can get us on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Make sure you leave your name and your phone number, because at the end of the show, we will be giving one lucky texter or caller a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing.
Hey, as promised, we're going to continue on with our catch report. We had a great one from Captain Brian Woolley there. We're going to continue with our surf report. We got the surf guru, Gundy Gunderson's on the line. What up, Gundy?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Doing great, buddy. Sorry to leave you on hold there, but we knew that this was going to be we knew we had a good week of weather. We figured this had to be good surf fishing, and we weren't about to cut this one short. Good morning.
Yeah, there was some good conditions. Again, you know, it's the north-south thing. The better action was on those northern beaches, Santa Barbara, I'd say, through Long Beach. You know, one thing that's been plaguing the bite is just a lot of junk in the water, and that kind of was the case throughout all the beaches. You know, a lot of eelgrass, a lot of kelp pieces, you know, more than anyone's really seen. And I'm not sure if there's a die-off or what's going on, but it's really plagued the bite here in the fall. And also, we haven't had the typical offshores, which clean up the water, no Santa Ana conditions, you know, so it's not atypical, you know, but the guys don't quit, and they still fish hard, and that's what makes it happen. We start up north, you know, with hook, line, sinker, and they reported a few decent halibut catches. The bite slowed a little bit with the changing conditions, but they did score a 32-inch fish off El Capitan and have a 31-inch fish off the Goleta Pier. I understand that the bait's coming in under the pier in the evening under the lights there, and the guys are getting the halibut in and around the bait. There's also a lot of short sea bass in the mix, a few sargo and other assorted. And, you know, that was kind of the best bet up there. As you move down the coast there, the South Bay fishing had some of the best Corvina action around the Humosa Pier there. I'd say Torrance Beach was another good spot, El Segundo, all through there. Cleaner water, lots of sand crabs, and there was a nice mix of Corbina and barred perch. moving down south, you know, it starts getting a little tougher. Big fish reported a few Corbina catches on bloodworms and ghost shrimps, the exotic baits those guys are going to. Bolsa Chica to Huntington was probably the best stretch, and then very good bay bass fishing. And this, that's what's curious, is as tough as the surf fishing is, the bay fishing moving south has been excellent. Lots of quality bay bass, lots of numbers. I think one of my buddies was down in Mission Bay, and him and his friend had 52 fish or something, and some nice quality ones. And the other thing of note, too, was that there was some nice short fin Corvina catches, and that was kind of a night bite on the new moon, the stronger high tides at night. And one of my buddies had four fish on the top water, topped by a 7-pounder. So that's real nice fishing.
We'll take that, man. Some good fishing going on right now, Gundy. Up and down the beach, well, you know, the surf fishing always tends to coincide. You get that good weather and good offshore fishing. You know, on the tuna grounds, and you'll hear the exact same thing with the surf reports. And I love the variety that you were talking about this week.
You know what's curious is that the guys at Pacific Coast were telling me that the lobster divers saw a ton of corvina on the San Diego beaches, you know. And to see that much fish, and the fish has been there all summer, but just the lack of a bite, you know. The only thing I could think of is, you know, when we were hauling bait in the late summer when I worked for the Mello Brothers, a lot of times when the surface temperature got too warm for the anchovies, John Mello would take the boat in shallow off San Onofre, and we'd set in 12, 15 feet of water just outside the surf line, and we'd get, it was small anchovy, but it was bait, you know, and it's, when bait's tough, you make bait. And we used to get corvina mixed in with that small bait. So, you know, they say corvina, 90% of their diet, sand crabs. I'm not sure about that. I think at certain times when that bait is in, getting pushed in on the beach, I think they take advantage, and maybe some sort of thing like that's happening because the fish are there, but they just don't want to bite.
Savvy take on it, man. Appreciate it. Great report, Gundy. As always, excellent up and down the beach. And, man, we'll look forward to hearing another one from you next weekend.
All right. Good show, man.
The best, buddy. Appreciate that very much, Gundy. You're the man on the surf, no doubt about that.
It was interesting, too, because I got a call from a couple of friends this last week, and they caught bonita on the piers.
Cool.
And it's been a long time since we've seen that. I go back to when I was growing up with the bonita ball and the feather and all of that, growing up on the pier and catching bonita. And it's like, I want to bring that back because it was such a phenomenal time in our local fishing.
Yeah, no doubt.
Everybody can go do that.
That's a crowd-pleasing fish for sure.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, I had a great text come through. It's from John in Rancho San Diego. It says, great to hear Duke and Tim today. What a great show. Duke and Tim, my question's for you. What is your favorite 30-pound fly line setup, and can you give me some more inside baseball on it? What's the rod and reel like? But more specifically, how do you like to set up your line, your leader, hook size, pin the bait on, et cetera? And would you ever recommend a high-end spinning reel outfit? And that's from John in Rancho San Diego.
I got this. Easy.
I love it.
Shimano Trinidad 14 with 40 or 50-pound Spectra, and then your top shot of whatever fluorocarbon you like. I like Sunline. And a CalStar 800 XLH. That is absolutely perfect. You can fish 25, 30, 35 on it. Perfect for it. Offshore kelp patty fishing, yellowfin tuna fishing, small bluefin on Tanner Bank or Cortez. You could fish calico bass with it. I mean, that's literally what I grew up. I fish a 700 XLH, but now that I'm a little bit taller and got some muscle on me, it's the perfect rod.
I remember one a long time ago, you know, during the time when, you know, your dad was talking about the beginning of the show when you were just a grom going fishing for your 1 week a year in the boat. And that's when that Trinidad 14, the new series, the A, had first come out, and that was Duke's reel. And the number of, you know, fish on the positive side of 50-pound tuna that were caught on this little reel was,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like what cemented that reel. It was like, yeah, this isn't a fly line anchovy calico bass reel. This is a do-anything setup.
92-pounder at Guadalupe on it.
Yeah. The Trinidad 14.
Trinidad 14.
I love it.
Same thing.
Now, what about the more techie side? How do you like to set up your line and leader? Are you an all Spectra guy with a short top shot? Do you like a castable top shot? Where do you fall on that? And then, how do you like to pin your baits on? And what's the real inside track?
You know, that's a complicated question because you got to know what type of angler you are. Are you a guy that's fishing every single day and knows how Spectra, how to cast it, how to work with it, what knots to tie, what not to tie? If you're a guy who's doing this only a few times a year or maybe once a year, fish some mono. It's, yeah. It's light line. Monofilament's really easy to work with. It's got a lot of stretch. So if you're pulling on that fish, it's very forgiving.
And don't take that as a knock.
No.
Like that's not a bad thing at all. You do that realizing that you're going to keep yourself out of tangles and you're going to have a much easier time fly lining the bait. Your bites, you fish a good bait, your bites are absolutely going to come just fine. And you'll know that you're going to be in the game a lot more than you'll be in tangles and in any kind of problem.
Yep.
There's no like feeling of inferiority knowing that you have a longer top shot. It's a different way to do it.
Yeah, in this lighter line, it's not like you're down below and you're fishing giant yellowfin tuna or big bluefin tuna where you need the line capacity of the Spectra. Mm-hmm. You can get away with some mono. It's actually a lot more comfortable in some cases than it is fishing Spectra. It's just like a jig stick. You don't fish straight Spectra. Mm-hmm. At least I don't. I fish monofilament on it. So, once again, if you're one of those guys who's only doing it a few times a year, monofilament with a short little piece of fluoro on top of it if it's finesse fishing. Now, if you're a guy who's a little bit more experienced, you do it a lot more, fish some Spectra, your connection knot, depends. I like a Bob Sands or an FG. Those work really well. They don't pull out. They don't slip. I've had a lot of problems with those RP knots. And what's the other one?
We like the FG because it goes through the guides.
Yeah, the FG is really nice.
It takes a lot to learn to tie it right because mm-hmm. it's like the Chinese finger thing where it's got to tighten down correctly on your
yep.
line.
Yep.
But once you get it, if you have the smaller guides because we're on the smaller rods, it goes through cleaner.
Yep.
Right? That's it. It's just. But if you're not, if you're doing a short top shot and it's not going through the guides, yeah, you can go with a much simpler knot. And in lighter line, you can get away with a larger variety of knots
yep.
than you can with the heavier line.
Yep, 100%.
I'm just so cautious about ever recommending that FG knot. Tied appropriately, it's fantastic. But it is, without question, the most complicated of connections, and it is very easy to tie wrong.
Oh,
you know,
I'm disagreeing.
And any knot that... You know, the best connection in the world, tie wrong, means you nothing, and sometimes there's a lot to be said about simplicity and, you know... And,
Bob Sands.
Yeah, you know, like, there's a lot to be said about the knot that's tied right.
Yep, Bob Sands, that's what I tie on that. And not a wind-on. I don't know what the whole new trend is. You know how many guys that we've seen fishing 25-pound wind-ons now? Please don't. They are just a complete waste of time. It's way easier just to tie a small connection knot. It holds better. And those wind-ons, so many times you see them slip right at that where you meet with the glue and you have the specter filled in with the fluoro. Don't use them.
Yeah.
Use them for down below with 100 and 130, but don't use them with 25.
Time and a place.
Yeah.
The right tool for the job at the right time.
It's
light tackle, we're making it way too complicated.
Yeah.
But you got to have something for a newer angler or less experienced angler. There's got to be some forgiveness somewhere.
Yep.
Either you're going to have it in the rod with the tip or you're going to have it in the line with the stretch. One of those, until you get more accustomed to how that tackle is going to work for you, right?
That is that 800 XLH.
Yeah,
you get everything
man.
With it.
I love that. That's a
everything.
Great rod. Hey, I wanted to wish a very big happy birthday. We've got a long-time Let's Talk Hookup listener and a great buddy, Terry Snell, an 85th birthday. So,
ooh, congratulations.
Mark wanted to make sure that we knew that. And a great bud, long-time listener of the show, been on a lot of Let's Talk Hookup trips with us, spent a lot of days on the Royal Star, and... happy birthday, Terry Snell, 85,
wow.
buddy, 85 years young. Happy birthday.
Today, huh?
Yeah, today's the day. Big birthday day. Wayne, why don't we jump back into the phone?
Yeah, let's take a call.
I saw some sideways. Like we got a shared birthday in here.
Yeah.
Hey, Duke, how are you gonna fly under the radar on
nice
the radio?
Not
a happy
day.
Birthday.
It's just another day. That's how we treat it. Not,
well, not on Let's Talk Hookup. You're lucky. You're lucky. Yep. I don't belt out a happy birthday song.
Is that 21 today?
Yep.
Hey,
21.
Right on. Happy
that's
birthday.
A milestone right
good,
there.
Damn good thing you are off. And, yeah. Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy
that's
birthday.
Awesome.
Very rare occasion.
Well, happy birthday to Duke and to Terry.
Yeah,
Wayne, just jump in, back into those phones.
Let's take a call. Hey, where's Mike from Rosemead? Mike from Rosemead.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
This is not a fishing question, but it is water related. So I was watching YouTube in the end of the evening, most every night, and... last night's subject matter, I decided to watch some surfing content, old surfing videos, and I don't know if you remember the iconic movie Endless Summer, and they mentioned a guy named Butch Van Arsdale in it, and I go, well, this popped up, so I decided to watch a little story on this guy, right? And he was kind of a reckless, rowdy party animal, predominant surfer back in the day, and... I guess the guy that used to hang out with them, his name came up like three times, and it was this guy named Carl Ekstrom, and I was just curious to know, is that any relationship to you?
Another La Jolla family. We grew up in the, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there were two Ekstroms in the La Jolla community, the fishing Ekstroms and the surfing Ekstroms. I lived on both sides of the line because I surfed my whole life growing up in La Jolla, but... been asked a question a million times. No direct relation to that Ekstrom family, but we're both born, raised La Jolla family. So there you go.
That's cool. Hey, I had a fun text come through. It says, "Hey, what a great show, guys! I'm really enjoying listening to Tim and now Duke. Questions for Tim about the Royal Star. Who originally built the boat, and how long has it been under your command?" That's from Jeff in Mission Viejo.
Ted Dunn was the builder. They built it alongside the American Angler in pool boat. It's a pooled hull design, but Ted was the foreman of the project. There's a bunch of really unique features that Royal Star boasts that you know, basically Royal Star, American Angler, and Polar Supreme are sister ships. Same shell, same hull, same hull dimensions, but internally Royal Star is completely different. It's a really unique boat, and Ted was a very accomplished boat builder, really knew what he was doing, a long career commercial fishing, so he incorporated a ton of features from his long, you know, career in commercial fishing into Royal Star that really make her unique. From an internal stabilizing tank, the framing and the structural components of Royal Star, in particular the framing, like Royal Star, the whole boat is framed and the longitudinals are extruded T-bar on that boat, where all these other boats are angle iron. And the tensile strength of T-bar is, I don't want to get way into the weeds here, it's much, much stronger. So there's way less flex. You know, some of these aluminum boats, they wobble.
Yeah.
Royal Star doesn't wobble at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is a battle wagon. She's really built strong.
Huh.
There's a bunch of other, you know, the tankage, how the boat's set up is really unique. And she was launched in, I want to say it was June of 86, I want to say. And then I got on Royal Star in June or July of 1992.
Okay.
So I've been running it. I ran it for 5 years. I worked for Ted and Frank on there, and then Randy and I joined forces in April of 96 is when we bought it.
That's awesome.
We took it over. We actually leased it for 3 years and then officially bought it in 99. But I've been on there since June of 92, so what does that make it on Royal Star? So long, I don't even know if I can count that high. You know, 35 years on Royal Star, something like that.
When you started driving that boat for Frank and for Ted, did you know right away that was going to be your home and going to be your boat? Did you think that you would just continue to, you know, go down the path that a lot of other guys go, do long range and then buy a short range boat? Like, did you know right away that this was going to be where your home was going to be?
I was really endeared to Royal Polaris. You know, I was on there for six
yeah,
years
sure.
and I was running in conjunction with Steve and Frank, and the first trip I ran on Royal Star, I wanted to cry because it was just, you know, like I was so accustomed to Royal Polaris
sure.
and, you know, the big boat and this and that. So it took a little time for me to get accustomed
yeah.
to that boat and that style of fishing. And once I settled into it, what I realized about Royal Star and that size boat is it's so versatile.
I bet.
You can do anything. You know what I mean? Anywhere from, you could half day fish on it if you wanted to. You can run a 23 day trip on it, which
yeah.
we've done. You know, we can do anything and everything. So, you know, I learned, let's just say I learned to love it.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted a long range fish.
Okay.
For sure. That I knew.
That was in your bones.
Oh, for sure. Okay. I mean, I was in the local fishery. I worked on Pacific Queen for a number of seasons. And then when I graduated up to Royal Polaris, the first trip I went out on there, I mean, the first day, the first stop, I was like, this is what I want to do.
I love that.
Yeah, I was
That's
19.
Awesome.
It was just like, I have arrived. You
yeah.
know, and having that knowledge that young in life, you know, I knew without doubt, like, this is what I want to do with my life. Like,
yeah.
this is, that's how cool it was. So, I mean, that gave me a really big leg up. You know, I wasn't, I mean, a lot of people don't find, you know, they don't find their way until,
totally.
You know, their mid-20s, whatever. I was just really fortunate.
Yeah.
So, going back to the Royal Star thing, though, I've been on there since it was right at the end of June in 1992.
And now, how did the partnership of you and Randy come about on that boat? Because he was on different boats doing different things, also long-range, but how did the two of you guys get together, combine, realize that this was a partnership you wanted to start?
So Randy was running the XL. He was like it was a battlefield promotion for him when he took over the XL. He had been on the 105 prior to that, and that's when I was running Royal Polaris in conjunction with Steve and Frank. You know,
yeah.
I was the third operator on there. So he was another young guy, you know, just like
yeah.
I was, and we just gravitated towards one another. You know, we were out there with all the older, I mean, you know,
yeah.
like
Kronowski
and Donnerty and all the icons of
yeah.
the era.
You were the young hitters.
And we were the 220-year-olds, the
yeah.
221-year-old, 22-year-olds that were, you know, in that arena.
You were
competing.
Duke.
Yeah, exactly. Competing with you know, the again, the legends.
Yeah.
So we gravitated towards one another. You know, obviously we saw the world through a similar lens, being the same age and having that same passion for fishing. And him and I both, I mean, going back to that, what we were talking about at the beginning, how innovative we, I mean, we were just so full of just vigor for and just looking for a better way. And the old saying, you learn about as much about what not to do from who you're working with as what to do. I mean, we were just chomping at the bit, just salivating to get our own program going so we could do it our way and just, you know, move the ball forward. One of the greatest things about, you know, when I did get on Royal Star, going back to it, it's like, did I, once I got out and, you know, got my feet under me and settled, and it was like you know, the thoroughbred opening up the starting gates, and I was just like, yes, you know, finally, here we go, you know, like give the horse the reins and let him run. Because, you know, everything I wanted to do, everything I wanted to try, everything I was constrained by, not in a negative way, but, you know, again, Royal Players wasn't my boat. It wasn't my operation.
Yeah, exactly.
But once I had my
own
boat. It's
been successful in its own right, doing it the way that it was due.
Yeah, but once I was unconstrained, I mean, the opportunity to build my own brand, all of the, we built an incredible, I was on there for 5 years before Randy and I joined forces, and I mean, we just built a powerhouse brand. You know, you were there in your youth, you know, we just built a powerhouse brand of doing it. We were completely unique, and we still are to this day.
Exactly.
Like what we do, and that's not to disparage anybody else, but what we do, how we do it on Royal Star, nobody else, no other boat, no other crew can even scratch the surface.
Well, you guys set the standard. You've driven the standard out there.
Yeah.
You glossed over it, but the Royal Star was one of the first boats with stabilization in the fleet.
Yeah.
Right? And then you drove the process, or not the process, but the handling of the fish, right? That was all you guys.
Oh, 100%.
And drove the whole fleet together.
Among so many other things. And I mean, that for sure, in the end, that will be, you know, call it my swan song, my opus, you know, like introducing RSW and how transformative that was. There's absolutely no question about it.
It's your legacy.
There's no question about it. Yeah.
Yep,
and not just, you know, again, not just for long range fishing, it's trickled down all the way to, I mean, all the private boaters now, even, you know, like AFCO with the circuit breaker, like all, hey, right here, that's where that came from. And I can't tell you the pride that I feel knowing now, you know, at the time I knew it was going to be transformative, but seeing how it's transformed everybody and now all these recreational anglers across the country, maybe across the world, have a much higher appreciation for what they're bringing in, for what they're harvesting.
We're spoiled. Even to like the conservation note of it, you know.
That's
the,
what I'm saying.
When I started working at the tackle store, which is in 1995, the measure of success was how big your pile was and how many frozen tuna you traded for cans. You know, watching guys walk away with cases of tuna and like, you'd hear big frozen tunas hit the deck, you know, on long-range trips that unloaded. Now, I mean, it's the quality and product is so good, the average guy takes way lesser amount of fish and takes a higher quality product home. Like, it has changed how and what we keep.
100%. And, you know, going back to the whole, you know, we're focusing on Royal Star and what we do, I'm telling you, like, that is such a huge part of our brand, like, producing that premium quality product. And that's where, you know, a guy like Duke, who he was raised doing that and seeing that.
Knows nothing else.
And he's taken the next step further where, I mean, like, producing that, like, showing that appreciation for what we're taking and advancing that to, you know, our anglers who, you know, coming out, they're spending a lot of time, they're spending a lot of money, and sending them home with that product that's just, you know, it's a quality standard that, again, I mean, God bless our competitors, but they just don't have the ability with their refrigeration system, but really the drive from the crew, and it's being driven from a guy right here who is taking it to the next level. I mean,
but you guys aren't just driving. You drove the innovation on the boat. You get it off the boat. Now you're driving the innovation in the processing, too.
Yeah, the whole
thing.
So
now we're taking really, really good product home, table ready. You know?
You guys could have seen this fish yesterday from a few days back, these bluefin. Oh, my God. You can't believe it. I mean, I've seen this for 20 years now, but it's just every piece, you know. We eat fish that's probably 80% of the protein we eat at home, you know, because it's such beautiful fish.
Best.
But I'll still take this loin out. Just the other day, you cut it in half and just go, oh, my God. Look at this. You know?
That's cool.
It's rock just amazing. The rock cod. Oh, my gosh. Those rock cod from out west. Yeah, when you bleed them and you spike them, run the circuit breaker down those rock cut. I mean, it makes a huge difference. You can't believe how much better one of those is when it's
bled, especially.
Yeah, bled and taken care of that way than just, you know, like one chuck in a sack.
How true is that, too? You go to Fisherman's Processing. When you're on a trip like you just talked about, the variety trip where you caught everything,
mm-hmm.
How impressive is just, is something you, I'm sure we caught some rock out on the way home. When you get the end product and that thing is done in the bag that's been bled and spiked and the circuit breaker wire ran through it, and then you get, you know, the professional class of people handling it on the backside of Fisherman's Processing, when you pick that thing up afterwards and it's translucent and snow white and just, it's perfect. Like,
it's perfect.
It's perfect.
It is. It's perfect.
You know, you know what's funny about that? I had a lot of friends at Vanderbilt, and they fished in Florida, and they never really knew anything about bleeding their fish or anything. They assumed that white meat was when you cooked it. Like, oh, look how white it is when you cook it. And then they saw the product that we would bring in from Royal Star. Sat in the RSW for a day. It was bled out, beautiful, spike bled, flushed out. And it looks blue. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. Like, the rock cod, it looks blue. Like a lingcod.
Yeah.
Like a lingcod. It's got a bluish tint to it. That's because it's all been flushed out, all the crap that was in it.
Doesn't
all
have the
gone
acid.
Yeah. Doesn't have the acid, exactly. Doesn't have the blood.
But not just how it looks, the flavor.
The flavor's different, too.
It comes out flakier, and it's, mm-hmm. it's just not tough anymore.
Nope.
It's just a different fish.
100%.
That's cool.
100%.
Yeah, so hey, looks like we've got the FishStuff.com report by the Angler's Realtor, Yosef Husseini, on the line. And this is sponsored by Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the best. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and make your reservations today. Hey, Yosef, how you doing out there?
Doing good, guys. Good morning.
Morning, buddy. Something like there's some. This is a report that we were anxious to hear. Sounds like there's some good fishing to be had on the grounds.
There is, man. It is still biting really good. I'm going to start up north, Santa Monica Bay Area, calico bass fishing and bonita fishing, along with some short barracuda. Still really good over at Rocky Point. There's still some yellowtail showing up. They don't want to eat anything, though. They are line shy mostly. Best thing to do is just drop down in line, use anchovies, use a light hook, and let them swim. Catalina, guys are seeing a lot of calico bass on the front side, along with bonita and barracuda, same deal. Yellowtail fishing slowed down a little bit. Smaller units, 6 to 12 pound, around Camden and Bird Rock. The sea bass fishing has slowed down quite a bit as well, but there still are some popping up here there. San Clemente Island, there has been a good yellowtail bite still in about 130 to 150 feet of water. Dropper loop squid is the ticket. These are the same fish. You know, as soon as the sun comes up, they vaporize. The front side, there are some smaller fish as well. Same deal. You know, you got to fish them in the dark. La Jolla has been heating up quite a bit. There's a squid bed off of Crystal Pier, and there's guys picking away at yellowtail and sea bass. Bigger home guard yellowtail, 15 to 30 pound. Offshore, the tuna fishing, it is really scattered now. All that fish that was up towards the snail and San Clemente has gotten kind of smaller. They're like 10 to 40 pounds now. It's still really good fishing. Guys are getting them on the spreader bars and daisy chains, normal stuff. Cortez Bank, still been really good. Guys are out there. Some of the party boats are out there. They're smaller grade bluefin, but it is very good fishing. Down below, 371, 302 area, I was out there last week. It's great. There's some big biomass of fish. There's a couple guys even caught the odd skipjack. But it's a mix of bluefin and yellowfin. It's like 10-pound yellowfin with 150-pound bluefin. Lower 500 west of Colonnet, there's also some really good yellowfin fishing. They are getting some Dorado in that zone as well as skipjack. So, and that's all I got for you guys. Great fish out there.
Boy, we'll take that, man. That's a big stretch of fish, too. Yes, we'll, you know, from the outer islands down to below the border, we'll certainly take that. And glad to hear that tuna fishing continuing to filter in. How's with the good fishing going on, how's life in the real estate game? I know things have been busy, lots of changes on the horizon.
It has really picked up. I took a listing over down in Eastlake that was on market for like 110 days, and I put it in escrow in 3 days with multiple offers.
Wow.
So it's coming again. Yeah, it's moving. Good for the real estate business, that's for sure.
Well, we like to hear that. If somebody wants to keep in touch with you, everything that's going on with the Anglers Realtor, take advantage of that home eval website that you have, which is great, just to know what your property value is worth with no BS that comes along with it. How do we find you? How do we keep in touch with everything that you're doing?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can look up homes on sportsmansrealty.com. And if you want a free home evaluation, go to SoCalHomeEval.com.
Awesome. Great report, as always, brother. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
You got it, man. And, hey, I want to remind you, if you want to save $30 off of a new FishDope.com membership, you can use the code HOOKUPNOW. It's all lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW saves you $30 off of a new membership to FishDope.com.
Awesome. Hey, Jeff is standing by on the fan taking your calls, and when we come back, we'll be taking those calls, reading those texts, and a whole lot more with the captains, Tim and Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. Stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Southern California Sports Fishing Voice, Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Saturday, November 1st, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. We don't hold back on this one. Spectacular savings on a huge assortment of saltwater tackle. Over 20 tackle manufacturers' reps. Join our free casting contest, amazing seminars, a huge raffle benefiting Rollo's Kids, Saturday, November 1st.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-styled metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. AFCO's crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. AFCO's crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on AFCO.com.
Take a closer look at the Ford F-150. You'll see hard work, a great adventure, and so much more. Inside and out, it's designed for the family, the road trip, and the most demanding job. The 2025 Ford F-150, whether it's gas, hybrid, or the all-electric Lightning, find the truck that will meet your needs. From California's best-selling truck brand, the 2025 Super Duty, the rugged Ford Ranger, and the versatile Ford Maverick, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today to see the great selection across the full truck lineup.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a great time in here with the captains, Tim and Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star, sharing so much knowledge, stories, and everything about the boat. Man, it's just, the time is flying right now. But let's take a call, Rick. We got Mike and Torrance.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as always. Morning, Ekstroms.
Morning.
Hey, I know the bluefin. Hey, how you guys doing? Bluefin's kind of dominated for the last 10 years. I'm sort of over it. But back, us old guys, back when I started, it was all about the big yellowfin, if you remember, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
2005, I remember being on a boat. We were on the Rooster drifting next to you guys. Super cool watching the boat next to you get bit, or gas come over the rail, you know, like, oh, look at that dude, look at that fish coming over on the next boat. But what's your view of the, you know, the 200-pound yellowfin that we don't really talk about anymore? What do you hear about it? What do you see down the line? And, you know, I guess I kind of missed that, but that's about getting old.
No, I mean, we talk about it. We still do it. You know, it's been a few years. I mean, there's been some little flashes in the pan, you know, little periods where that fish shows up on lower banks. I mean, that's definitely, it's an annual thing, whether they show up on potato or Morgan or finger, you know, somewhere around there. We haven't seen a year to compare to that period between, I want to say, like 96, 97 through like 2010, 11, 12. We haven't had one of those big years since, it's got to be at least 8 or 10 years now. And that's more a function of the yellowfin tuna population as a whole. You know, those years where we had that incredible fishing on big ones down there, there had been an extended cycle where there was a lot of warm water, and yellowfin tuna recruitment in the Eastern Pacific was just off the charts. So, you know, the simple explanation is there's just a lot. There was a lot more fish, so a lot more of them survived to an older age. You know, and that again resulted in, you know, a lot more big ones being available down there. So, the number of those big ones, you know, it directly relates to the recruitment, and it's usually a 5, 6, 7 year lag. Now, there was a number of years where recruitment was just, you know, it was either average or it was down, so there just weren't that many big ones left over. That's, again, the simple explanation. But you figure that we've had pretty good yellowfin fishing here going on, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. There's been a lot more consistent yellowfin down the ridge, so expectation is we're going to see more of those big ones show up. Obviously, it's condition-related if conditions favor it, but we haven't forgot about it. It's still a big part of our fall push and our early winter push. We actually crafted a 12-day in January on Royal Star, the first and second week of January, for that exact reason. I mean, there were so many years where we fished in those lower banks. Mm-hmm. What, you know, there's a whole series of them. Jaime Bank would be on the bottom end, and there's some banks all the way up, you know, the famed Toussaint Bank, or Rabbit, we used to call it. That's west of Mag Bay. Anywhere in between there is prime time at that time of year. It's just a matter of whether they're going to show up. But,
and that's one of the reasons you did it as a 12-day, because it gives you the time to check out and sit on all of those different spots. Because it could be 30 miles below. It could be the, you know, Katie mm-hmm. Bar of the Door, and 20 miles above, you could be picking away at nothing.
Right. And it's a, you know, it's the old ride down, ride back format. So it's not just exclusively, it's not a big fish or bust.
Cool,
it's an everything.
Yeah.
You know, all those years that we just whaled on Wahoo and Aleos in January, and all the boats, you know, all the 10-day trips, they were done, you know, tied up for the season. It was just boats going down, you know, back and forth, maybe Hurricane Bank or out around the islands at the time. There's been great fishing at that time of year, and usually everybody's shut down by that. So, you know, that trip is perfectly positioned.
Yeah,
we're going to see
that's
how
a cool
the
trip.
Yeah, I put a second one on for the following year for 26. We'll see how this one shakes out. I mean, I feel great about it.
But a cool opportunity to have some big fish focus, but know that it's not just a big fish trip.
Exactly.
You're still going to fish the ridge and maybe the rocks and all the. You'll have your opportunity at variety, but still also know there likely will be some big fish time to be had as well.
Yeah, and I actually feel really good about that. You know what I mean? I love targeting big fish, you know, big fish or bust, but it can, you know, it's that kind of fishing where you just have to put your time in.
Yeah,
a lot
sure.
of times you're fishing for that one, you know, it's big fish hunting, it's big game hunting, so, you know, you're out there for one shot. That's cool if you've got that mindset, but, you know, you got to mix some catching into the program too, and again, that breaking
some
up bites. The ride.
I love that. Yeah. That's a cool trip.
Breaking up the ride going
down. And that's
down
when? It's January
1st through the 12th.
Second, right?
It's either the first or the second,
Yeah, we're not leaving on New Year's Day. It's the second. It's the second through the 14th.
Still space on that trip, or is it full waiting list? Like, what's the move on a trip like that?
Well, let me tell you, the word got out that Captain Roy Rose is running that trip.
There.
It was like holding back a snowball, rolling down the slope.
That's pretty fun.
We had a few spaces that were available, and it just filled up instantly when word got out.
You're
going to
be laughing for 12 days.
Laughing, right?
Having a good time.
You're going to be crying. You're laughing so hard.
How's that been, having Roy to the team, and how fun for you guys on those types of trips and things?
I should let Duke speak to it first. I mean, I told you guys last time I was on, I broke it down. He's a force multiplier.
he's old school. He's like these guys. I mean, it's just another perspective for young captains like myself or some of the guys that we have on the boat already. It's just another perspective for everyone to take in.
Yeah.
Not only that, he's just great with people.
The best.
He's one of the best with people that I've ever witnessed. I mean, he can make a crappy situation a good situation for a lot of things.
That's cool.
Just socializing, your people skills. He's really, really, really elevated all of our games in that sense.
That's awesome. Yeah, good team member. You guys have a very well-rounded team on the Royal Stock.
Yeah.
Always have, and it's always had different fashions, and there's always been different people in different roles, but the one thing that's been consistent is it's always been a really solid team on the boat, at least as long as I can ever remember.
Yep.
You know, going back to it, I was on my had my megaphone out shouting to the world about how great Royal Star is, because it is, but Roy coming from, a long career with 30 years on the other rig, you can imagine, and again, it's not that the other guys are doing it wrong. Everybody does it different.
Yeah, right.
You know, I won't say it. Kiyohara's old saying. But anyway, everybody shakes and bakes different. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We all get the job done. You know what I mean? So anyway, but Roy came over to Royal Star, and you can imagine what he saw us doing and how we do it. I mean, it was just like, I mean, the guy's just absolutely blown away.
Cool.
You know, like, eyes open to just a completely different dimension. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, he's added so much to our crew, to our program. Just like Duke said, I mean, the guy just has he's got a magnetism to him, you know. He's got a lot of charisma, and he's just such a positive person.
That's
that
cool.
Really, it doesn't matter what the situation is, you know, he's got a positive outlook on it, and it's infectious.
It is.
I find myself to have a good time around him.
You are. I mean, I've made a lot of trips with him this year, just, you know, obviously getting him comfortable with the routine and all that. Not that he needs to be comfortable running the boat, but just how we do it. And now it's like, I want to go out with him.
It's
so much fun. You know?
Did he bring the pink apron to go serve dinner?
That got thrown away at Boatwork, sadly.
See, there it is. You've got to laugh about those things, kind of things that he does, right? So, hey, we got a question from Gary White and the Iron Man asking, when you're going on your long trips, is there any update on Guadeloupe? Any update?
No.
Nope. Can't fish there.
I'm just putting it that simple. No.
Yeah. Can't fish there.
Well, why don't we jump back into the phones, Wade?
Yeah, let's take a call. We got Dave from Anza.
What's up, Dave?
Good morning, everybody. Say, I was on that 4-day Let's Talk Hookup trip last July. That was such an epic trip. We almost limited out the boat on those quality bluefin tuna. And the one thing that really impressed me about your boat there, Jim and Duke, is it seemed like no matter when I was up on the deck, whether we were scratching for tuna during the day or catching those big ones overnight, it seemed like almost your whole crew was always out there working. I don't know when you guys got any sleep, but you sure do a great job out there.
That's the magic of management. Is you said it almost was like they were out there. They, you know, obviously that nighttime thing, you have to rotate guys in and out, but it's you got to make sure your guys are getting adequate rest. It's just from a safety standpoint, but when you manage it correctly, you know, you nobody notices if two or three of them are down, because
cool.
We've got the two or three in the right place at the right time. And what about this almost limited out, man? We limited out.
not crew limited.
Sorry about that. That's cool. Well, Dave, sounds like you guys had a good trip. You have a question?
Got a good question for you. Yep. Question for you is, I use my Talica 20 over at the nighttime fishing. When I bought it, there was no, that colored specker was not available. So I have a 100-foot monofilament top shot on it, and I marked my line every 100 feet with a Sharpie there. seems like at nighttime, though, after I've been down a few times at night, it's getting harder and harder to see those where I've marked my line. Do you have any suggestions on marking our own line that might be more visible?
No, there's really nothing else besides, you know, you have a Sharpie or something that's very, very bright, whether that's neon green. It can be a hideous color like neon green, neon pink. But as long as you can see it, that's all that matters. And me personally, I mean, that color line, it's great and all, but it gets confusing for a lot of people too. I mean, there's brands that are, oh yeah, it's every 30 feet or every 50 feet, and it's confusing for people. So, you know, when you have just a plain white Spectra with a little bit of mono on top, I think it's a lot simpler for people to understand than it is that colored Spectra in cases.
See, I'm a colored Spectra guy. I like it. I'm with you. I don't like the 25 feet. I don't like the 30
yeah.
feet. I like a 100-foot color-changing Spectra. And if you're being plagued with your Sharpie marks fading away, the Spectra doesn't go bad, and it's very easy to retrofit, and you don't need to change an entire reel's worth out. If, if the every 100 feet your line changes another color makes your life easier, just come in and swap out 300, 400, 500 feet. You know, it's a very inexpensive change. You know, a full spool of Spectra on a TAC 20 these days is not a cheap endeavor. You know, your Spectra has gone up like everything else, and you're starting to talk about $100, $150, $200 if you get some 100%. Super premium Spectra, but you don't need to change it all out. Come in, swap out 300, 400, 500 feet. You're going to be $30, $40, and away you go. And if that will make a difference for you, if like the faded lines is having a problem, then just swap it out. Otherwise, like Duke said, just, you know, every trip your marks are there, they've just faded. Just, you know, do a little garage work before you go and, you know, remark them up, or go to a paint pen and make sure your line dries real good. Like, if you're doing some garage work, you can pull that thing up, pull that off, make your marks. The big thing is just like letting it dry. You know, you don't want to pull off your 100 feet, mark it with a Sharpie real good, and then wind it back on the reel. It's just going to bleed onto the line next to you. But, you know, if you've got some prep in the garage and you're making your gear all together, pull it off, make your marks, let that thing dry for an hour, come back to it, do another 100 feet. You can get that thing all dialed
back
in.
Well, what we find, too, is the guys are thinking, oh, I'm just going to make this little mark. When that line is coming off the reel, you need a long mark on there to see it. Otherwise, it just blows by and you don't see it at night,
right?
That is
a very good point.
You've got to have a longer mark, and then, you know, 1, 2, 3 marks. But I like what Ricky's saying, because if you have the metered line and you say 400 feet, because we're normally going 350 max, and then if you get to the end of your metered line, you know you're there. It's an easy mark right there that you're at, you're not. And so I like that. But I'm frustrated, too, because you don't know when you're buying the metered line what their meter is marked at.
Yep.
You have to go and measure it and figure it out.
Well, that's from a crew perspective, because you're the guy most of the time who's casting downwind. You're like, where am I?
Yeah. That's a good point. Hey, I had a fun text come through. Good morning, guys. This question's for Duke. Duke, what's the process of obtaining your captain's license? Do you have to attend a maritime institute? How long are the hours behind the wheel, et cetera? Congratulations on your position with Royal Star.
Thank you. There's a lot of different ways that you can do it. As far as your hours, they go by days. And for a 100-ton master, you need 750 days out in the water. And that counts to like a 12-hour day when you're fishing. That can be skiff time accumulated. That can be working on one of these boats. That can be yacht time. You just have to be out on the water. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be driving the vessel at doing a night watch or something like that. It just means that you have to be out on the water.
As a condition of employment.
Yeah, as a condition of or skiff time.
Yeah, skiff time. Right.
But I did it through the maritime school. So you go up online, you look for whatever class that you're trying to attend, whether that's STCW, whether that's 100-ton master, firefighting. There's a bunch of different classes. For your captain's license, just choose 100-ton master, whether that's for a 50-ton, a 25-ton, there's a OUP or something like that. That's all in the same class. It's the same test, same basics. All of that is included. And depending on how much sea time that you have, they will evaluate what type of license that you need for what you're going to be doing in your future process.
Okay.
And then if you're going to run one of these boats, for instance, Royal Star or one of these 1.5-day boats, you're going to need an STCW on top of that, because you're going to be running in international waters. And all that is your basic firefighting training, your first aid, your CPR, all of that included. Because if you do have a problem out on the water where you're a few hundred miles offshore, you're going to need to know how to address those issues.
I know a sense of pride that's been talked about by your dad a bunch of times, and it's that having that life-saving ability, it's having fire ability, it's all those things that, you know, it is unreal the track record that our that our fleet has, you know, taking hundreds of people offshore every day for years at a time, and how incredibly safe and polished and well, you know, those crews work. And it's so rare that there's ever a tense situation, but when it is, a guy like Duke and a guy like Roy that are snapping and joking, having the best of time with people, boy, when serious comes, like, it is very clear the training and work ethic that, that you guys have, because a snap of a finger, like, it's all business and it's all safety, and it's a really, really impressive thing to watch how good our fleet is at taking care of everybody when on the rare times when it's necessary.
Yeah, that's a really good point you make. I mean, I know going through this whole process when we were working with Coast Guard and these new regs and so on and so forth, statistically, and I'll knock on wood 100 times in a row, there is no industry anywhere that transports this many individuals at this kind of distance and, you know, potentially really, you know, hazardous conditions that, that has this kind of safety record. It's unbelievable. It really, really is how safe these boats are. And, again, it's a testament to the professionalism. We definitely make it look easy. We're supposed to.
You're supposed to. Exactly.
We want everybody. But at the same time, you know, I just reemphasize the point you made. I mean, there's no question whether we're competent professionals out there. That's why everything works as good as it does.
Think about the number of fender benders that happen on the bus and mass transit and cars and trains, everything else that exists. Thousands of people go out all the time. The number of incidents are almost nil. The few that happen are usually, you know, brought with it. It's an illness, a thing like that. And even still, it's just like Johnny on the spot, boy. You went from Roy Rose wearing a pink apron to this is a life safety thing, and everybody works with, you know, Coast Guard immediately. It's just the rare times when it happens, it sure makes you proud of how good this fleet is.
Amen.
Yeah. When you think about how many captains we have on the boat, too.
Right.
We have Roy, him, obviously, myself, Brian, Jackson, Logan, Mikey, Greg.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Randy, there's nine operators.
Vast majority of our crew are licensed operators.
Yep.
And all of that comes with life-saving, fire safety.
All of it.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it. They all have experience from the Coast Guard training, all of it, and Royal Star training.
That's really cool. Let's try and sneak another. We don't got a lot of time. Let's try and sneak in one more text, Wayne.
Yeah, so unfortunately, this person didn't leave their name, so they can't get in the drawing. But they're asking. They're going on a 10-day coming up here, and they're asking, what's the situation on the Wahoo?
Real quick, when Duke, we got about a minute 30.
It's the same type of techniques. I mean, you have your Raider jig, something that's fast moving and shiny. So it's a Raider jig, a bomb, a service iron, whatever your technique is that you like, a wire rigged bait set up with 40 or 50 pound test on top of that, and whatever trolling lure of your choice. We recommend people are bringing out those trolling lures because not only are they so expensive for us to bring out, but we can't just say that they're free when they break. You know what I mean? We're bringing those fish on, and sometimes, a lot of times, with those Nomads, those ETXs, you can only get 4 or 5 bites out of them before they get cracked, and then they break off. So for you guys to bring out your own lures, it's a lot more helpful for us and yourselves. We're going to get a lot more fishing time out of those lures.
I have such a love-hate relationship with those DTX.
Oh, yeah. Hooks, I do, too.
I don't care for the hooks. I don't care for the longevity. I don't care for the fact that the rigging has to be perfect. There's all these negatives, but there's a very, very important but there. God, do those things get big.
Yeah, they get big.
You just have to deal with it.
It is what it is.
They're not going to last you forever. They're not. You know, you might get one that just doesn't go quite right out of the package. There's all these things. But the butt is a very important one, and none of those things work.
And we're trying out some other lures also on the boat. We're trying these triple D things that Roy recommended. But at the same time, it's a lot more efficient for people to bring out their own tackle and not have us charge them for them. And we can rig them for you. We have no problem rigging those for you. But if you are a guy that doesn't have the opportunity to go buy one of those things, we have them on the boat provided.
Well said. Good job, dude.
Hey, well, we'll be right back with the lucky winners. We'll go flip the coin, and we'll find out who's going to win that full-day trip on the Liberty. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Facebook, YouTube Live, Let's Talk Hookup app, and 97 through the fan.
This is Pete Gray.
grade to tell you about my fishing buddy, Dan Hume, and his amazing company, Hume Termite. As you know, Southern California is infested with termites. It's a constant battle for anyone who owns a home, and that's where Hume Termite come in. They're strictly termite experts. They start with a thorough inspection to find out why you have termites in the first place, then recommend sustainable treatment options that work. Hume Termite has been controlling my termites for years, and I have recommended them to numerous friends. Did you know 99% of termite companies are commission-based? Not Hume Termite. They're all salaried employees, and with a thorough inspection, they'll help you solve your termite problems. Not sell you something you don't need. Let Dan and his crew earn your business through customer service and trust. It's swarming season, and now is the time to call Hume Termite at 760-598-2201. They'll come out and give you honest answers to solve your termite issues. Check HumeTermite.com.
Lobster season is here, and success starts with the right gear. And no one does it better than Promar. Based in SoCal, Promar's Ambush Series hoop nets and accessories are trusted by the most dedicated lobster fishermen on the coast. If you're a serious lobster fisherman or a beginner, Promar makes the gear and shares the information you need to be successful on the water. Promar, the name behind more lobster limits than any other. Visit PromarIHE.com to gear up today.
If you're into saltwater fishing, Saturday, November 1st, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. We don't hold back on this one. Spectacular savings on a huge assortment of saltwater tackle. Over 20 tackle manufacturers' reps teaching and showing the latest product. Join our free casting contest and show your surface iron casting skill. Amazing seminars by some of top names in the business. A huge raffle benefiting Rollo's Kids. It's our biggest sale of the year. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Unbelievable pricing on tackle, clothing, accessories, and more. Saturday, November 1st.
Hi, my name is Chris Webb, and I'm one of the owners of Nature Fed Beef Company. We've started Nature Fed to bring families the highest quality beef that you can get in Southern California. Did you know when you buy ground beef at the store, it can contain hundreds, if not thousands, of different cows? All our cows are pasture-raised and pasture-finished. They roam and graze on green grass miles away from any freeways, assuring low levels of cortisol and some of the best meat quality that you can get. These animals are raised in God's country, in the Klamath Basin and just outside of Corning, California. We sell our cow shares in quarters, half and full cows. This gives you a cut from every piece of the cow, and all the meat you buy comes from the same cow. We deliver it right to your door, packaged and ready for your freezer. Let's Talk Hookup listeners can enjoy $250 off any beef order with the code HOOKUP. Give us a call at 619-324-3555 to order, or visit naturefedbeef.com. $250 off any beef order with the code HOOKUP. Visit naturefedbeef.com.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfisherchartersdotcom.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, we're going to have the Enstrom flip the coin right now to find out who is going to go on the full-day trip on the Liberty.
Duke's doing us the honor. We have a caller or texter today.
Caller or texter, and it is a texter. Hey, John from Redondo?
Rancho San Diego.
John from Rancho San Diego, you're the winner of the full-day trip on the Liberty.
Boys, what a fun show. This was crazy how fast 2 hours rolls by talking about something you like. And, boy, I'll tell you one thing. I really like going fishing on that Royal Star. You guys painted a great picture, had a lot of fun. If somebody wants to take advantage on all of the things, the short trips, Duke, you were talking about with that great tuna fishing, the now that we're swinging into the fall, Royal Star is doing mostly longer trips, that killer long new long trip that you put together. If anybody wants to get on any of these trips, go fishing with you, whether it be right now or in the future, what's the best way to do it?
Okay, so give us a call in the office. because that's the best, because you can actually talk to a live person. 619-224-4764. You'll either talk to Tracy, Brian, or I in the office, maybe even Duke if you leave a message. Or RoyalScarsSportFishing.com. Follow along on the Instagram, which is
Royal_ScarsSportFishing.
Which you guys are doing a great job.
That's all Duke.
Very fun follow, keeping us up to date. Really appreciate it.
And the daily updates, RoyalScarsSportFishing.com, so, you know, straight from the boat. And, hey, I got to mention, we have one spot that opened up on a 10-day, November 5th through November 15th.
There
we
it
have
is.
One spot the entire fall, and that's it.
Go and I have it. One more trip, the Christmas trip.
Angel.